Okay, so we analyzed many of the positions that appear in Rashi, Tosfot. Let us move to the position of the Rambam in Sirtut. So I gave you the list here of the Rambam. So let's read the Rambam's Halachah here. Rambam Hilchot Tefillin, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Bet. So what does the Rambam say? Who wants to read it? In this one, it is page 180, going on to 81.
All right.
Go ahead. There's like
where is it?
The last three words on 180. Yeah. Because they're covered.
Okay,
good. So that's the half of the halacha that talks about certain. So the Rambam, so the Paskim Rashi or Tosfot.
Like Rashi,
right? That Sefer Torah needs Sirtut, as does Mezuzah.
Right.
So we said, now that position seems to think that this is more generic to all of Torah, so then how do you explain Tefillin?
It's covered,
right? There has to be an active Hafka'a from the obligation. And we suggested, the Rav contends, that this is similar to the position in Rav Netru Noigon. If you look on the next page, look on the source sheet. What? I'm not sure. Noi Gaon. So if you look, he writes. Never mention Noi quotes from Repalti Gaon. Matzati because of Bichuva's Repalti Gaon Zecher Tzadik because there's Levracha. That's what Zekukel means, right? Kach Reinu Dechol Davar Shel Kedushat Sarich Sirtut Bein Rabbi Yitzchak Bein Mitzvahs Maimi Demar Zutra Bein Maruk VaBar Lazar VaFil Lachto Pasuk Achad Belo Sirtut Asur. Right, all Torah, all Dharm Shiva Kedusha needs Sirtut. Aval Tefillin Matam Ein Shichon Sirtut. Then why doesn't Tefillin need it? V'mnei Shem Mitzuvin L'Kov'an V'ein Tzarech L'Krot B'em Kitzvarim. You must... What's Kov'an?
Like option.
You gotta put them somewhere, right? You gotta put them in somewhere, and therefore you don't have to read them. So, the Rav suggests that this halacha of the Rambam is like, right, Rav Netru Noigon, that what the Rambam is saying is a din in Torah, which is Nitan L'Kriya, and therefore, there's an active hafka'ah, meaning something is covered and therefore not, right? Not just you happen not to read it,
right,
but it is halachically outside the world of Kriya because it is covered by halacha. That's what it's supposed to be. Exactly, it's halachically unreadable. Ela mitzvah likorchanu likom'an. The mitzvah is to wrap them up, put them in the, right, in the boxes. Likorchan b'saran v'tofran b'gidin. V'nasin kikmea. They look... Now, like an amulet, essentially, right? They're sealed up. And therefore, you don't open them up and read. And sirtut lo ne'emar ela mishum kriya. Because sirtut is said because of kriya. Therefore, it is halachically anti-kriya. Right? Therefore, it doesn't need it. So that's what Rav understood. The Rambam in light of the tshuva of Rav Netru Noigon. That's halacha one in the Rambam. What's the next halacha on the Rambam?
Doesn't explain the fact that we don't read the mezuzah either.
Okay, good. So what you say, so here what you have is post can either say, so you can say this in one of two ways. Either you can say, right, so either you can take the very formal way, which is what Gersley's about to say, which is a mezuzah you happen not to read, right? But it's not a, right, because it's not what it's meant to do, it's sitting on the wall. But it's not mufka because it's not halachically covered, it's not anti-kriya. Halachically it is, right?
It happens
to be covered, but it doesn't have to be, right? They can be see-through, right? They're not covered in leather and black, right? Everything about tefillin is that halachically, right? The practical way that some suggest is no. The other, and that we've mentioned this, is that, but in the end of the day, tefillin, right? Mezuzah, you have to check somewhat regularly, and therefore it's sort of nitan l'kriya, and tefillin, right, or not. But I think the mashmar of the Rambam, it's at least, and maybe Rav Netru Noigon, is that no. The point is that mezuzah you happen not to read. Tefillin are halachically not readable. That's what they are, right? They are in... Okay. a joke. Okay. Right, Hirschberg is sick today, which means he asked if I can give more Shirim. It's like, I'll be on like six. My voice is... Anyways, I'm just getting recovering from my voice being gone. Okay.
I have another Gerson sub question.
No.
You have to...
Good. So now let's look at... I know, that's... I'm recovering, and I'll unrecover. Okay. And I gave audio, like, recorded. Okay, let's look at Megillah. So now let's look at Megillah. This is going to be page...
That next part in the same halacha.
Oh, good. So let's continue. I was going to skip it, but good. What's weird about the next half of the halacha?
Well, because... Okay.
We'll read the rest of the halacha, Gersley.
So you're able to write the tefillin and mezuzah, not directly looking at another pair of tefillin and mezuzah. Shakol Gersin...
Gersin, but parashot Elo. Right?
Parshot
Elu. Everyone reads these, everyone knows he's familiar with them.
Parshot. They're. I've all Sefer Torah, but Sefer Torah, Asher Lokoto, Bo. Afilu Ot Afat Shalom and Hakatav. You're not even allowed to write one letter that you haven't looked at.
Right. So I think, what do you see? That according to the Rambam, this halacha is a din in Ksiva, I would say. Right? It's not just the result, but it's clear.
Right. I was saying that maybe this. Doesn't this, do a whole knock in your theory that the Rambam's about just Torah? Wouldn't that be if he puts it in the same way, you say that it's about form? Like, it's the fact that, right, we know that mezuzah halacha machine, right?
Where's Rafi?
He's on the other side.
Rafi!
Yo.
Hey, come here for a second. So it could be, right. In this halacha, he might present it more as a din ksiva sefer Torah.
But I'm thinking the fact that you have to... The sefer Torah, right? You have to copy the sefer Torah correctly. And
that's from the show?
Yeah. So you're right. In this halacha, it might just be...
And the fact that that you have to copy a sefer Torah correctly, and the fact that sefer Torah is in the same halacha, can't you say that the Rambam holds that the fact that there are sefer Torah in the Torah is part of the copying of the sefer Torah?
Maybe. Right, meaning of ensuring precision and copying.
Right, I'm thinking like, when I copy the sefer Torah, one of the things I have to copy is the sefer Torah.
Right, but it would be weird if you didn't need that by tefillin, right? Because then, right, it has to be both, but it's a din.
Well, I don't need it to be by tefillin.
Right, it's Torah that will be read,
right.
Maybe.
Let's just say, all sefer Torahs were all stam things.
Correct, so it could be, right? Maybe we'd have to sharpen the formulation, that it's a din in, right, making sure you have... well-written, well-readable, right, and tefillin, because it's not going to be read, right, any halacha which is about readability, any about precision it still has, but about readability it doesn't.
Right?
Right, meaning it still has to be minaksav, it still has to be precise, if it weren't for the fact if it weren't for the fact that Megros Garcina, that you knew it. Right, meaning, fundamentally, it needs to be precise.
Of course it needs to be precise. Correct. I can't write incorrectly, but the fact that, even if I know...
Correct, but the Rambam justifies that simply the fact that you know tefillin well.
Not exactly, because if I knew Torah well, right, if I knew the entire Tanakh, frontwards, backwards, every letter, I would not be allowed to write it without a Torah next to me, right?
So that's unclear, right?
I think it's clear from the Rambam.
Good, so the... So you might be right. I tend to agree with you. This is what I gave. This is what I do with my shir yesterday. Was whether right or two, like last time we had on Sunday, whether minaksav, while you were with shir with Rindy, of whether minaksav is a fundamental or practical. I'll come back to Michael because I tend to agree with you. There is some evidence that it's more fundamental.
I definitely right, more
it's
Rama.
It's also totally
I feel
said,
achas. Yeah, I definitely know the Rish and Barishas.
In Ochanami. And the Beis Yosef essentially takes your contention because even by tefillin he says that if. You have, basically it comes with a very lumdish position, that by tefillin, if I know all of tefillin baal peh, I don't need it, the rune aksav, but if I don't know any of it, then I can't write any of it, shalom and aksav. Right? If there's even like one pasuk I don't know, then I have to write the whole thing, min aksav. Right? But it's clear he's going the direction that's fundamental. I mean, that's what's clear. It's a weird position, but it's clear.
Once you're saying that there's just not a ding in knowing it, because it's definitionally just writing it from a Sefer Torah.
You're not Chalami.
Right? Then you could say that whatever the Sefer Torah says, I have to copy, and the Sefer Torah has Sirta. So therefore, if I have to copy it, I have to copy the Sirta.
Oh, so din in copying? Maybe. Interesting.
Oh, no, but then that doesn't work for Mezuzah.
Oh, that's why you can do the Halacha Moshe Mitzina.
Possibly. Okay, but let's try to get the Rambam's whole position, because this is just one of the halachos. Now let's go to Megillah, okay? So Megillah, and this is page... One second. I really should just put the page number. It's Perek. So Perek Bet is page... 355.
I know, I understand, but...
Which Perek?
This is Perek Bet, Al-Hatet, and Yud Aleph.
Page 355?
355, yeah. Megillah.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Who wants it? Yeshua, you want to take it?
Yeah,
I'll give you food in your mouth. Okay. Jolly, you want to take it?
Sure.
When you don't have food in your mouth. Okay.
In quotes, finita magila, ela bidyo. So you can't write it unless you're like, with your hand. It has to be with your hand.
Bidyo, not bidyado. Dio, with ink.
Is ink.
Bidyo, okay. Al hagvil, al haklav pesifer Torah.
Really?
Yes. Magila.
No, isn't there a Gemara? There's a Gemara Menachos that says...
Yes, we read it during Sirtut. Right, that was the first half of the Gemara in Sirtut, of Dechsostos versus...
Right, yeah.
Yes.
But then,
the Rambam is a very different sheet than everyone, because he actually holds like the Gemara. No one else does, we don't. We just don't separate it. Halacha Tet.
There's two ways to read that Gemara.
Chami, he doesn't... But we just don't do that, we just read it. Right? We just say that's only if you split it, but we don't split it, so it's fine.
God, that's what we say?
Yes. I think Rabbi Friedman once wanted to make a like at least a Megillah and like anyways I don't remember. You can ask him when he comes.
So if you write, I don't know what that means. If you write it on what?
B'mei Aftza is gall nut juice, I believe.
Oh, you know.
I know exactly what that is. The concolent, which is, these are other types of ink, shera. These aren't the ideal. Dio is the type of ink we use.
It's a mixture of gallnut.
Yeah, it's gallnut and gallnut. It's like gallnut. Some mix, whatever. Yeah. Other inks that are not Dio.
It's an extract from a tree.
Yeah. Many says right. So continue. Right. You don't want a neon green Sefer Torah. Okay, good. So he does. He clearly hold like tzvicha sirtut katora atzma. That's clearly like Rashi.
Yeah, Rashi.
Kamita shel Torah means Torah. Means Torah, right? Kamita shel Torah.
You read that my way too. That's Torah atzma. Torah itself.
Meaning he get hold that. First, Rashi versus Tosfos, he's like Rashi.
Yeah.
Right? That's clear. What's not clear, now first of all, in this halacha, Gersley's diuk is going to be good again. This is a din in Ksiva Sefer Torah, because again, where does he put it? Bidyo, but right? It's a din in Ksiva.
And also the fact that it's Torah optimum, not like top Torah. Like it's the physical Torah itself. It's a din in
the good. Right? And right, it's clear that this is not just about the Ksav, it's about the Chefta of the Torah, because he says, Ve'ena Orshala Tzarach Ibda L'shmach, because then he moves from that to Ibud. It's not just the process of writing, it's the, right? The Ibud L'shmach, right? That's not in the process of Ksiva, it's the Chefta upon which that you are Kosev, right? Right, and Isaac Suval and Yaro or Shinam Ubad, right? If you write on paper or non worked leather, Kosa Goyer or non Jew writes it Omin Psula. Look at Halacha Yud Aleph. Look at Halacha Yud Aleph. Two halachas later. Yeah, read it.
So what's tefira?
Stitching.
Yeah. Oh, so it needs stitching until kol orotel. So until it's all the parts are like one.
Yeah, all the pieces of leather are one.
Okay. That's a whole complicated thing, y'all.
What?
It's a complicated thing.
Yeah, very. All these are.
Ve'ena nitzperet ela begidin kaseper Torah. Right. So what's it like? Nitzperet's the same.
It's woven with gidin kaseper Torah. Already, Grisly knows why I gave this halacha, right? What's he about to do? So he says, you also need to learn. Right, you learn from Sefer Torah that it needs to be woven with sinews. V'im tfara shalo begidin psula. If you don't, it's possible, yeah?
But you don't need top, bottom, and middle for makeup.
No, you don't need all the halachot. But continue. He says, V'ein etzarach litbar kol yiriyah k'sefer.
Okay. El afil tefar begidu, shalosh tefirot b'kitzei hayiriyah, v'shalosh b'emza'ah, v'shalosh b'katzah ha'shini, k'shira b'pnei shenikrei igeret.
Good. So, interesting halacha. Let's work through this. Right? What does he say? You need tefirah like Sefer Torah, but you don't need it exactly like it because it's ki igeret.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
So, now, according to the Rambam, let's be careful. So, now, is Sirtut, what's Sirtut Adinin?
Torah.
Torah, not Sefer. Right? Because look at how he separates the halachas. Halacha, Yud Aleph is, in what sense is a Megillah like a Sefer, and in what sense like a Igeret. Halacha Tet is, in what sense it is connected to Torah. Right?
Huh.
Right? Because it separates it. Well, it has Sveidinim, right? It has elements of it that are like Sefer, and elements like Torah, but he puts that in... What? Sefer Torah.
No, I understand that, but... There's Sefer and Torah, and Torah is the like actual psukim. It does not have actual psukim in it of the
so,
five books of
right, so this is what's interesting here, right? Is that it doesn't seem to be... You're right, it seems to be about the Chefta, but not the Chefta of the Sefer, because that's in Halacha Yud Aleph, right? It sounds like this is about... It's a din in...
Right.
In Ksivas Torah.
No. It could be...
Or Kisvei
HaKodesh. A totally separate thing. It's a din in the cloth.
Maybe
right.
It's in the cloth, which might be in Siva,
right?
But what's clear is that it's distinct.
Which works well with the Gemara because the Gemara puts it next to Dusus and cloth.
Right. So it's right, but this is what's clear, right, from the Rambam. It's not 100% clear, right? Meaning we still haven't seen all the Rambams, but it's clear that he distinguishes this from, right. There's one question: is it Sefer or is it Torah? Right? Is it Sefer or is it Igeret? That's about right one level of halachos, and then there's something else which is about.
I think it's talking about the chetza of the Torah, but you have to on the micro level of the particular cloth.
Possibly.
What cloth do I have to use?
Right, maybe it's in the cloth, maybe it's, right, which that itself seems to be a din in Ksivas HaTorah, right?
Fine.
Right, which might be different than the, right, the Tfirot, which are about the Sefer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Tfirot is how I connect this into a book, right?
Right.
As opposed to Sirtur
right.
on the cloth, it's a din in the Ksiva of Torah.
Right.
And that seems to be right. What's clear from the difference between Halacha Tet and Halacha Yud Aleph.
Or you could say once again that it actually is part of the Ksiva itself.
Right, or it's a din Ksiva, or it's a din the Chefza upon which you do Ksiva,
yeah,
right? As opposed to Sefer and Igeret, which is about the collective whole. That's not what this is,
yeah.
Right? That's Tfira, right? Tfira is about Sefer versus Igeret. It's about the whole. This is either about Torah, like Kisvei HaKodesh, or Ksiva's Kisvei HaKodesh, or something like that, right? Okay, next halacha. Halacha Ilchos Sefer Torah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Tesvav. So that is, now going backwards again.
Where are we?
This is Sefer Torah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Tesvav. So this is page 100 and... Thank you. And now Yeshua doesn't have food in his mouth, but he's not here. So that's okay. Bad timing. Okay, on this side of the room then. I was going to call on you, and then you know. It's okay, you'll take the last one. Go. Sean, you want to?
No.
Page, 188. Perek Zayin, Halacha Tet Vav. Wait, 180.
Yeah.
No, 100. Yeah.
Oh, I'll just say.
Wait, did I put the wrong one? In this one it's Tet Zayin, sorry.
Okay.
In whichever one I was looking at was Tet Vav, in this one's Tet Zayin.
Basir Tut. Philo Katav al Han Yar.
Right. Anytime you write any Kisvei HaKodesh, you have to write it with Sirtut, even if it's on paper. So now we're ready. This is the halacha from Gittin of writing words. Now, what's clear about it? Right. According to the Rambam, is it what's a dinin?
Right.
Yeah, it's a dinin ksiva. Ksiva is Kisvei HaKodesh, right? Once you have the three halacha together, the Rambam shita is clear. It's not about the chefza shel sefer. It's about the mice of ksiva's Kisvei HaKodesh. Right. It's a dinin ksiva's Kisvei HaKodesh. Why now? The only question you have to ask is tefillin, and the answer must be the reason about Kisivas Kisivas Kodesh is for readability, and if it's mufka from readability, then it doesn't need it, right? So it's very specific. It's Kisivas Kisivas Kodesh Hanita in the Kriya, right? Or halachically it's not mufka from Kriya.
Even something totally separate, like it doesn't have to be a readability, but it needs to be a din in,
or
like,
whatever, status of Nitan Lakriya. No, Nitan Lakriya, right? Right.
Tell me.
Writing the Kisvei HaKodesh and Nitan Lakriya. Good. Continue the halacha. Oh, sir. Right. So maximum for him is three words. Now we remember there was a machlokes in the Gemara about whether it was 2, 3, or 3, 4. So here he paskins 2 mutter, 3.
No, he
sorry, 3 mutter, 4 aser. Look at Hilchos Yibam v'chalitza dalid lamid hey. So Yibam v'chalitza. Now let's get this one. Yibam v'chalitza dalid lamid hey. So that is page.
What's it called?
It's 433. Yeah, Yeshua.
He's taking
too long
to get the page. We should get someone else.
Well,
on the page.
Which last one in Perek Dalet. Halacha Lamed.
Kishakotvin get yivamin og tuvat yivamin misartet mekom hapsukim shasur lechtov shalosh tevot below sirtut.
Right, so when you write...
That's 2, 3, though.
Good. Now we have a problem. Right, the Rambam, in the context of writing the Shtar of Yibam Chalitza, says by the pasuk you write Sirtud, but he says it's 2, 3, not 3, 4. Two is good. So now, what do we do? So now we've seen so far in the first three halachas we saw that the Rambam seems to hold that Sirtud is a din in Ksivas Kisvei HaKodesh, unless tefillin which is mufkam from Kriya, right? But now we have a problem. We have a stira. In one place the Rambam paskins 2, 3, in one place he paskins 3, 4. So what options do we have methodologically in front of us to understand the Rambam?
The level of Kedusha, maybe.
Okay, good. So, the easiest route, which I'm not going to take, but is, as I mentioned, is the Taj Beitz's route, is that it's a stira. The Rambam passing one way in one place, another in another place, so we have to be machmer
b'daraisa. Oh, that's not answered in any way.
It is a possibility. It's not what I'm going to adopt, but it is a possibility. But good, let's try to conceptually defend the Rambam. Good, so what are you saying, Yeshua?
What
were you saying? So you're conceptually defending. So let's consent.
We're saying that the Sirtud is a din in the Kitzvei HaKodesh as far as legibility is concerned. So maybe it's the level of Kitzvei.
Good. So one possibility is about the level, right? So if I'm just stamazoi writing, if I'm stam writing psokim, like whatever it happens to be psokim, so less kadosh. So 3, I can write 3. If it's a halachically significant document, right? Whatever. So then more machmir.
Okay. So I think
by the way, there's going to be an actual answer to this question. Not like we're going to guess, because the Rambam himself was asked this question and he answered, and I gave it to you on the sources. But first, let's try to understand it theoretically. Yeah. Okay, good, Gersley. Let's see if Gersley has embodied the Rambam yet. Let's see if he'll get it. Yeah.
Okay. So what's it called? It's clear that the idea of 2, 3. Why don't I need Sirtud for any amount of words? Well, because in order to define as part of a pasuk, you need a certain amount of words.
Good.
Right. Okay. Now, automatically, when I have this chalitza document or. Right,
Chalitza
Nibam document, right? Or get? We're doing get, right?
No, there's a Chalitza document.
Again. I have a get. Since there's a halachic pasuk in it, I already know this is a pasuk from the very beginning, right? So all I need is some sort of minimal thing to make it like that part of the pasuk, so the 2, 3 words, right? But with the other one, I still haven't defined it as a pasuk yet when I'm writing. So I need the 3 or 4.
Good. So I think that Gersley is basically on point in what the Rambam actually thought. And if you look at the Tshuva, the Rambam puts it slightly differently, but I think the conceptual issue is the same. So you look, this is Tshuva Reish Lamed Chet in the Rambam. It's number 8 on the source sheets. He writes, Ha'echad mehem, she'ein lichtov min ha'Torah psukim el yichtov shalosh shevet levad lo yoser. You can't write psukim without sirtud Right? So you can't write three words. V'imtrichim anu lahavi raya bipasuk. But if we need to bring a proof from a pasuk, right? Meaning what?
If there's like...
Right? I think this is the same idea you're saying. Meaning, if I'm just writing... Right, I'm writing a letter, and I'm very frum. So instead of writing November, whatever, I write, right, L'Ruvi, B'Shabbos, L'Parshas, right, whatever. So there it's just a melitza. I'm not really writing the pasuk, I'm just being frum. So, right, frum. I'm being frum. In this case, it's describing what I'm doing. It's not just, I'm using that word on purpose, right? Meaning I'm not, there's not a lot of thing. I'm right? I'm quoting a pasuk, not as a pasuk, I'm quoting it. So there, what makes it a pasuk? That there's enough words that an average person would look at it and say,
that's a part of it.
Right? And that, the Rambam argues, is three, right? Basically a phrase, right? But let's say I'm quoting it as a drasha, right? I'm writing a halacha piece and I'm darshaning out the pasuk. Right? Right? I'm writing about tzitzis and I write, right, risim or so. For risim, we know, right, ksus yom and aksus laila. Risim or so. Right? Right? Fine. Reithem or so. Okay, I don't know. Okay? Right? I know that it's, right, ksus, right? It's ksus laila, okay? Right? Next, yom and akthus, whatever, I can't do it. Right? And I can't, but it drives me nuts. Right? So then what? He's saying, then, what makes it a pasuk? What makes this kisvei HaKadosh Torah? It's not that it's, oh, I happen to recognize it. It's I'm treating it as, right?
That would have been bad.
Now, presumably, the reason you need two and not one is because one is never, right? One is a word. Right? You still need more than one for it to be. Right, I assume that's what the Rambam's argument is. He says, so Mishnayim anu kosim v'nosim lo tzura acheres o kosim v'kol teva oz achas o shtayim. And that seems to be the Rambam's position. Basically what Gersley said is that if you're treating it as Torah, so then already two. If it happens to be Torah, then it needs three. Right? Because then it needs significant...
I don't know if you're saying that.
Or something like that. Meaning
more like that if there's that halacha...
Whatever, like, right? Now, by the way, who said this? Who else said this? Right? Which sheet did we see that was exactly like the Rambam on this point? But Mamish Mitzad HaSheni was in Tosas Rabbeinu Tam, which was that you need Sirtut not on Igeret Shlomim, but only if you're darshaning. Now, this is the same.
I don't think he would say darshaning.
No. For sure. But the Rambam. I mean, Rabbeinu Tam, it's a different cheshbon. He thinks that Igeret Shlomim doesn't need any sirtut.
I think it's bevadai.
Right?
Yeah. I think he's saying bevadai.
No, here he's not. He's talking about drasha.
Well,
in the tshuva.
In the tshuva, he says drasha. Or he says like.
Yeah. Look at it.
I don't have it.
Says im trichen anu raya mi pasuk. If we're using it, we need to bring a proof. It's like Rabbeinu Tam. But Rabbeinu Tam took it farther. What did Rabbeinu Tam argue?
That you don't need the sirtut.
Correct. Rabbeinu Tam took it farther. Meaning the Rambam says there's two types of sirtut.
Right.
Right? There's sirtut. Right? Rabbeinu Tam took it farther and said, no, the only thing which needs sirtut bichlal is what?
Okay.
Right? Is Torah which is being treated as Torah. Right? Torah as drasha. But Torah not being treated as Torah doesn't need sirtut. The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says no. It's just, the question of whether you're treating it as a drasha only changes the point at which it's recognizable as Torah,
right,
not bichlal whether you need sirtut, right? But Rabbeinu Tam's on the same trajectory, just right, takes it much farther. Okay. What? Good. So here we do the Rambam. Now, I want to tell you another interesting sheet of the Rambam. Now, what would you think? We said there's two basic ways of understanding why you need sirtut. One is to make it clear to read, and the other is to mark this as Torah. Right? Right? Is mark this as Torah. So, Rabbeinu Tam, we saw, holds of both dinim. Right? Because he says everything needs the line on top.
Right?
Right? Or the line around.
Right? Or the box. Different Rishonim record that differently. Right? But, right, whenever you have anything, but Sefer Torah needs, right, line by line. Right? There's Sei dinim. Sometimes you just need to mark it, and sometimes, good. What would you guess for the Rambam? Is it really about readability for the Rambam, or is it about marking Kisvei HaKodesh? Marking Kisvei HaKodesh. You want me to prove it? I'll prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Okay.
Right? So, there was a minhag in Arzot Yishmael, right? In the Muslim lens, which the Rambam we know kept. How do we know he kept it? Because in the Perush Mishnayot, the handwritten Perush Mishnayot of the Rambam, when there's a pasuk, there's sirtut. But what type of sirtut?
On top or the bottom?
Only on top. But what does it look like? Is it a line?
No,
it's dots. The minhag in Arzot Yishmael was, or in the Muslim lens, was to write dots, just dots when you were writing, and that's what the Rambam does. You can look through right the manuscripts we have of the Rambam's own Perush Mishnayot. When there's a pasuk, he puts dots. The Tashbates was asked about this, and he says, I don't understand it at all, right? He says, what are these? In the middle, he says, look at the middle paragraph in the Tashbates. He says, that what you said, that if you want to get away without real sirtut, without cutting the lines, then just put dots on top. Where do you get this from? But this is the minhag in the Muslim lands. And again, the Rambam held this minhag. I don't understand it. Isn't sirtut only about making it straight? But that means it has to be before. It has to be a line. What is it putting dots afterwards? Right? It's nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. What does it help?
No, it's just how long the Surah of the thing.
Oh, good. But according to the Rambam, first of all, right? Now, presumably by Sefer Torah, the Rambam would think you need lines in before, because it's also part of making it straight.
Well,
but this other halacha...
I don't know if he would say that it needs to be lines. I'd say
Before, right? I don't know what he would say. But the notion that maybe it's okay even after, maybe it's okay even with line, with dots...
No,
but what does that show? That for the Rambam, right? Because who held this, right? Meaning, you can try Googling it, right? If you can try to find an image of... I tried finding one, but... It's there. You can look at the manuscript. The Rambam's handwritten ones. When he quotes a pasuk, you'll see there are dots. The Rambam's is hard to. It's in Arabic, right? It's in Arabic, but you see the psukim, right? The Hebrew will stand out, and then there'll be
the dots. Are like pressed in or made out of ink?
Yes, ink, right? Good. And that makes it clear that this minhag clearly felt that at least sirtut of. Words, not of Kesivah Kodesh, is fundamentally about marking, and therefore it could be
right
in pen.
This also isn't a din in Ketiva, you're saying. It's a din in...
Correct.
So you would say that if you were writing... I'm just wondering. You would say, according to the Rambam, if you were writing a Dvar Torah on a laptop, you should underline your second.
So, ostensibly... Right, this is one of the big kashas, is that how do we defend it? So, according to Rabbeinu Tam, right. Well, possibly yes. Possibly you would have to mark it off. Possibly in a chanami, right?
I'm not sure.
Assuming you think it. Well, if you think that's ksiva or whatever, but meaning
it's not.
Look, we already know from Tosfos that people weren't as makbid on sirtut. It seems to be olef from the sugyot. The same thing is true now, right? Where it's not 100% clear, right? According to the Rambam, you wouldn't need sirtut in a chanami. He said, I don't understand it unless you think that the dots is as if you erased it and then you rewrote it. But you can't, this isn't enough to be matrit without sirtut. But the Rambam, who held at this minhag, you found a picture?
Is it this? Where the dots are?
No, you'll see it's like three dots. It's like three, four dots. I'll put over the pasuk. What he puts. No, that's what they do. I tried finding it. It was I've seen it in the manuscripts, but like the little pieces you get online don't help very much. In fact, no. I found one picture where I just saw the dots. Right? Like I saw the picture of the manuscript,
right.
And I saw the dots, but it was cut off before the next line, so I couldn't prove anything from that picture. Right, because it was, so and I didn't have the patience to look through which manuscript I was looking at and find the folio. It's like a nightmare. If you ever go to the exhibit, anyone ever go to the exhibit? There is the Israel Museum now, and they look at the pages. You'll see if you go through it. I've seen it. I'm not like making it up. It's there.
He doesn't mention the Torah too, no.
In his handwritten Mishnah Torah, probably. Yeah.
The different Torah that are written on computer or paper, or anything really. If it's really just about identification purposes, then wouldn't you be fine with just, you know, like putting in open quotes, end quotes?
Potentially a quote, a bolding, I don't know, something like that, right? Yesh lo
doin. No, it's got some sort of a line.
Well, no, he just put dots.
No, the dots are just like, the dots are just partial lines.
So maybe, but we'd have to figure out, right, exactly what you could get away with.
No, I think it's a partial line.
Now this already highlights, now the Taz Beitz already highlights, therefore, that one nafkamina, guys, of whether sirtut is about, guys, one nafkamina about whether sirtut is a din in, just in straightening it out, or it's actually a din in the chefs of the ksav and marking it off and things like that, as we saw, is already before or after.
If you have a break in your sirtut, right? If I have a sirtut and then I stop and then sirtut again, and let's say for Torah, is that kosher?
Let's say for Torah?
Yeah.
Depends if you're old.
Or not. The dots might not be
It
could just be like a partial line.
Now, what happens about the following? What would you say about a different question? What would you say about disappearing ink?
Disappearing
ink? Oh, no, then. No good.
Well, let's be careful. If it's about marking it off, could you have it?
According to the wrong
writing.
No. Right, for sure not. It has to be marked off. But if it's about just practical, making it straight,
yeah.
Maybe. So if you look at the last source here, Rabbi Kivi Eger deals with this. He says, "Guf kushi shichur tozus rush v'aran came in the kamei lenin kosmos el sirtut l'mayt zarach halacha moshe mesina mezuzot shichat sirtut v'chenlam etc." Said if we know you need it, why do we need a halacha moshe mesina by mezuzah? And so by sota megillah near the fiyan is daiti the efshar lomar the fiyan mashe kosmos Mordechai this topic mani sirtut b'bdil. Right, the Mordechai asked this question. Do you...
I've heard people say Mordechai.
No.
Anyways.
No.
It's either Mordechai or Mordechai.
I've heard Mordechai.
But it's not. I know that's a Yiddishism, but it's either Mordechai or Mordechai. Mordechai or Mordechai. Anyways. He says, is it good with B'dil? Can you do sirtut with something that'll disappear afterwards? He says, "Oh, the boy sirtut miskayim vitsiyim who tas mashon the boy guma v'chrit." So the Mordechai himself says, "No, it needs to stay. It needs to be that line, not ink, and it needs to be permanent." The imkain yish lomar the shlosha ink goes into the low sirtut. Haynu mishum shiak sav miu sharman as a sirtut b'vdil. But Rabbi Akiva Eiger says maybe it's sveidinim. Maybe three words. He says, I don't know if I would agree with that. He says, where it's just about keeping it straight, then you just need to keep it straight. Eger argues that, ironically, the three words are about writing it straight, and the mezuzah is also about chefza shel ksav, and therefore it needs to stay. Now, l'may nafkamina to Rabbi Akiva Eiger's position. Why do people care about Rabbi Akiva Eiger's position so much? Typing. Right? The argument is that if you're typing, and then it's just shalosh osios, it's not a din of a sefer Torah. It's a din of Torah which has to be straight.
So it'll always be straight.
Then for the second, for this halacha of just keeping it straight, when it's not kisvei HaKodesh, then as long as it's straight, it's fine.
Which is why anything typed doesn't have sirtut.
Correct. So the argument, so Rabbi Akiva Eiger is used to defend it, to say type things, right, don't need sirtut, because the reason you need it by regular words from Sukkim is because it has to be straight. But the reason that we're going to require sirtut, right, with a knife, in Kisvei HaKodesh, because there's a second halacha, as Gerstle noted, which is about the heftz of the thing upon which you write Kisvei HaKodesh. Right? And that's what he argues. Again, you could have said it differently, but this is what Rabbi Akiva Eiger argues, and that's what he's used to defend. Now, I noted to my guys a bit that there is a position which I honestly don't... It's so lumdish, but I can't buy it. There's an argument by Rav Moshe Feinstein as follows in the context of silk screen and printed svarim. Right? So I noted this with my guys. There's a question about silk screen Sefer Torah. Okay?
Silk screen.
So silk screen Sefer Torah is basically It's very cool. You can watch the video of it. It was Rav Abadi suggested this is kosher for Sefer Torah. That basically what it is you have a stencil of sorts, right? But it's not like a normal stencil where you just pour the ink and then it would be written. That wouldn't be a Maisek Siva. It's a stencil with two levels of microfibers, right? Micro whatever. And you pour the ink over the first level. It filters through into the middle level, but it's suspended in that, and then it won't go on to the klaf until you push it, right? So the argument that he made was that if I push it at that point, since it goes on with through a yad, right, that can be considered derech ksiva. Now there's a lot of questions. Is it derech ksiva, or is in the end of the day just considered shofeich? Pouring, which is not ksiva. There were questions about, do I really need min haksav, or is that only practical? Do I need to verbalize, or is that only practical? Right, obviously you're not doing that, because you're writing whole pages of Sefer Torah at a time. It only works by Sefer Torah, not by Tefillin and Mezuzah, because Sefer Torah doesn't have to be written in order. Tefillin and Mezuzah do, so obviously it's puzzle, right? Because they do it a whole sheet at a time. That's not in order, right? Which is something my share did. I don't know if you guys did Kisitron. Did you Kisitron? Okay, anyways. Moshe was asked about this, about Sirtut. Right? What about Sirtut? So, Rav Abadi says, no problem, we'll have Sirtut. Right? Now, I would have said, Mamana Shachat's Kasher. Even about keeping it straight, so maybe you don't need Sirtut, but Bechlav, you have Sirtut, for sure it's good. And if it's about the Hefza of the cloth upon which you write Kisvei HaKodesh, well, it's there, so what's the problem?
But either way.
But Moshe came up with the following argument.
Sirtut?
No. He said, Sirtut is unnecessary when you have a silk screen because it's already straight. And therefore, even if you put it, he said, you need Sirtut in Kisvei HaKodesh. But Sirtut has to be functional to be meaningful. And therefore, in this case, because you don't need Sirtut to keep it straight, the Sirtut that you have is meaningless, and therefore puzzle, and therefore this is Kilo, it doesn't have Sirtut.
Oh, Sirtut is a function, and it doesn't have
a... No, it needs... Sirtut is part of the Heftza, but what defines it as Sirtut is that it was functional. So, and therefore, in this case, even if you put Sirtut, it wouldn't help. Right? Which is so unbelievably lamdish. But also, I cannot imagine this is what the Rishonim meant, because Rishonim didn't talk about this at all, right? It's either part of the Heftza, or, right, functional, not defined as being functional, and then it has to be... Right? It's part of the Heftza, but it's defined as... Okay, so Gris likes it. This is how Ramosha takes it.
I don't know.
It's a very interesting argument by Ramosha. And that is, and definitely a cool svara. And that's why Ramosha, one of the many reasons that Ramosha doesn't like silkscreen Sifrei Torah.
You like it.
So
what do you mean like it?
What?
I think it's a very cool svara. You're going to answer your time.
Okay, what are their points? You know what, we can't finish it today. I mean, we could have read all the Yerushalmi inside, which would take us forever, but maybe I'll just make one last point, which was the machlokes of, I think I mentioned already, but whether, if you don't need Sirtut, what happens if you put it? Right? So we saw already that the machlokes of Yerushalmi, right? Didn't we see that machlokes of Yerushalmi already? But some people say don't do it because Nikra Hedyot, and the other Shita... Right? But it's many Rishonim. But I think this svara of why it's kosher is actually good, and this is an important methodological point. In general, the Rishonim discuss, when do we say Hamachmir Tavolov Bracha, and when do we say, Kola Patrim and Adavar Vyoseu Nikra Hedya, right? When do we say it's good to be Machmir, and when do we say if you're exempt, you're an idiot to do it? So one of the simplest and most elegant answers in the Rishonim is the difference is as follows. If by doing the Chumrah you still accomplish something, you're just not obligated to do it, but it clearly accomplishes something positive, meaning it's functional, it's practical, it does something, so you can't be an idiot because there's a reason you did it. Right?
Okay. For Tefillin it doesn't accomplish either way.
Wait a second, one second. But he says, but if, right, the only value that it has is if you're, right, if it's obligatory, then doing it when you're not obligated is meaningless. So the poskim say, how is it that lemaisa we paskin, that it's kasher, and therefore by tefillin, right, you can do sirtut? The argument is, because at the very least, one of the functions of sirtut is that it helps you write straight. Right? You may not need it by tefillin because it's covered, but if you want to write straight, so you put sirtut, that's not a meaningless activity, right? And therefore, it's hard to say nikra hedjo. Right? That's the argument of the Rishonim who say... So there you either say that's not what it is, bichlal, right? Or it's only meaningful for distress, you know. Or you take the other answers with a nikra hedjo, but that's a sugya in and of itself.
You could also say you only need straight if it's going to be red.
What?
You could also say it only needs to be perfectly straight if it's going to be red, but it's not.
Maybe, right? Maybe it's meaningless in that sense, right? Who cares about being straight? You want it to be straight, but who cares? Okay, we've seen the basic contours of the arguments, right? Is it din of sefer? Is it din in Torah? Right, nafka means the two types of sirtut. Lemaisa we paskin that even by tefillin you need, like Rabbeinu Tam, that you need the sirtut elyon or the four boxes, right? But not the ones in the middle. And we accept that position, the halacha.
We accept Rabbeinu Tam for everything. They
no, by tefillin. In general, the poskim defend the fact that we don't do it. So we accept
that you would
we accept the Geret Shlomim versus Drasha. You know, poskim tend to also use Rabbi Akiva Eger to defend like printing and things like that. Like I said, there's a lot more on sirtut. Someone sent me a 75-page book just on like sirtut boferet.
Oh my God.
Like I can send it to you. I can forward
you.
What?
Don't you have like a
I do. I have a Kehilchus book on Mechias HaMolek. There are Kehilchus books on everything. Yes, I have one on Mechias HaMolek. I have on everything, right? Like, there are weird ones out there. There's HaMolek, there's, right, L'Hachzer Torah L'Yoshna, Kehilchus HaBinyan, Hagbaz, HaTorah, right, just on Hagbaz, on everything, right? Anyways. Okay, so let's stop sirtut there. I think we've covered the basic issues in sirtut.
One of the things, I think we saw this inside, but some of the Rishonim say that it's only when you write Kisvei HaKodesh, Bashuris, right? Therefore, one of the defenses, because otherwise it's very strange, right? You're writing notes and you're writing it and you're doing it Lidrasha. How could you ever, right, do it without sirtut? So there are the Shita that say, no, it's only Bashuris, and there you're writing Biksav, right? You're writing in script, and even if you're writing it in block, right? You're not writing in proper. So that's one of the defenses. Again, this is one of those sugyas where if you look through the sugya, there's good reason to think you still might need sirtut. The fact that the post can defend it, meaning we can justify the halacha, that doesn't mean it's the only version, and, you know, presumably Gerstle would not go on and you know, be misarty things. But, anyways.